You'll be turning to Romans chapter 12. My scripture will be Romans 12, 33 through 36. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Lord, we come before you this morning in your word, seeking your help, seeking your instruction, seeking your teaching. We would beg that you honor yourself this morning and teach our soul something concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us with your presence. Give us tongues to say, ears to hear. Open the understanding of our soul. Teach us and we'll be taught. Help us to see the glory of God and our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been his counselor? Who hath first given to him, it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. The title of my presentation this morning, I had to change it to Him. And if you read those, for of him, through him, to him, are all things. But I'm going to do it this way. Who is him? Him is a person. Him is a name that I want to give a scriptural benediction to whoever him is. All scripture is given for our instruction and learning. All scripture is given Christ as the subject and him crucified. Might not be able to find it, might not be able to see it, except it be revealed to us by God himself, but it's there. All the gospel of Christ, the gospel of God, is from one end of the scripture to the other. The truth of the gospel is from one end of the scripture to the other. We learn through multiple truths those things concerning Christ. Let me just show you an example. Henry Mahan made this statement one time. What do you say when you speak to believers? One simple thing, he said, tell them what Christ has done for your soul. And lo and behold, I found that Rupert, there was a scripture on that. Psalm 66:16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. So this morning is a declaration of what he has done for my soul. I was raised in a grace church. I probably know Henry Mahan longer than anybody in this whole congregation. Met him in 1953. I was 11 or 12 years old. Used to come to our house and eat lunch because we had six kids and we just piled the food on. He loved to eat. What did he preach? He preaches the same thing that this church does, the church I grew up in. And I sat there for 30 years believing with all my heart all those doctrines, all those truths, and I had no clue whatsoever what they were. For almost 30 years. I mean, I would sit there, and let me just go through them, depravity. David said, shaping iniquity, conceiving sin, dead in trespass and sin. Oh, I believe that. And then comes unconditional election. It's the eternal love before the world began, before even the beginning, God chose somebody in Christ. And the atonement and redemption. He shed His blood for those He chose before the foundation of the world. I believe that stuff. Irresistible grace. When God speaks, we come. The best example I can think of is Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. What did Lazarus do? He came forth. It is irresistible. Perseverance of the saint. To me, that was real simple. His promise, I will never leave you, never forsake you, means He's perpetually, eternally, always with us, whether we find Him or not. I'm sitting there saying, I would fist fight with anybody that wanted to argue on these truths. But I had no clue in my soul what they were. My point is, salvation, Christ, is not doctrine, it's not creed, it's not what you believe, it's not even a list of truths. That is not salvation. Faith does not save. These are precious truths. I'm not saying these things like depravity, which to me is the fundamental thing that men object to because of their pride. They want to have some part in their salvation, and depravity says, you are unable and able, you are dead, you can't hear, you can't walk, you can't come, you can't do anything. That makes election absolutely, utterly necessary. If you're dead and can do nothing for yourself, then somebody has to do something for you. And that's what election is. God calling forth many people. All these things, they're precious truths concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. No scripture, and I'm going to be very careful to say this, no scripture urges us or declares us to trust in any of those things. Do you trust in depravity? Do you trust in election? The point I'm making is these doctrines, these truths, simply like the scripture says the law. The scripture says the law is our schoolmaster to point us to Christ. All these doctrines are scriptures that point us to Christ. It is not Christ Himself. And no scripture tells us to trust in the blood of Christ. If you show me a scripture that says trust in that blood, even trust in that grace, and I don't want anybody to misunderstand that I'm not saying these are most precious things to the soul of a sinner. But it's not their salvation. It took me, Doug, so many years to sit there and believe and know these things. And to be quite honest, I didn't completely see it until about 30 years ago when I started coming here and sitting under Rupert. Then all of a sudden, oh my goodness, I see the light. Now I understand these things. I see Christ Himself. We are not to trust in the finished work of Christ. The scripture doesn't say that. These scriptures, again, say look to the source of that. That's who you trust. That's where you put your trust. However, the Scripture, all Scripture, does encourage and teach us to trust the person of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a blessing to be able to see that. All right, so my topic is, what is a person? What is a name? And a benediction to those two. What is a person? Every individual sitting in here is a person. It's a unique being that's not dependent upon anybody else or any component of anybody else to be themselves. There's no two doves. There's no two Judys. Unique person. And that person is not dependent upon anybody or anything else to be that the person he is. And it is unique. Gill defines it this way. A unique individual, not sustained by another, nor is part of another. So what I'm saying, person is unique. And now I want to look at person. I'm going to call this person him, because I'll get to his name later. And the scripture we read describes and characterizes this person, and I'm going to call him him. Romans 11:36. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Listen, of, through, and to all things for him to the glory of God. Colossians 1:16. For by him were all things created that are in the heavens and in the earth, visible or invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things were created by him and for him. Colossians 1:17. By him all things consist. 2 Samuel 23:5. Order in all things ensure. What I'm saying is, whoever this him is, look at it. By him, for him, through him, to him are all things in heaven and earth, regardless of what they are. They are in him, this person that I'm calling him. And the scripture is full of terms that define and describe and point to what this person is, who this person is. These, I'm simply listing his characteristics. Ephesians 1:11. Purposed of him, who worketh all things at the counsel of his own will. Oh, he's sovereign. He purposes all things. Doesn't care what it is. When I was growing up, somebody told me that God was such a marvelous thing that even the hairs of our head were numbered. And the preacher made a mistake and said, even those little ants running across there, God purposed that too. I said, oh, scratch me. Oh boy, I'm in trouble. I used to run there and stomp them ants, dude. Stomp them as hard as I could stomp them. And I thought to myself, these ants were purpose of God. Now, though, me stomping them ants was purpose of God. But even those minute things that we think of in earthly or material terms, what he's really saying, all things spiritual are mine. Purposed. And it's sovereign. By the determinate counsel of his own will. Alone, one. Purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Job 33:13. What his soul desires, even that he does. He does what he pleases. If he thinks it, if he wills it, if his soul desires it, it happens. All things ordered and sure. Daniel 4:35. None can stay his hand. Psalms 115:3. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Colossians 11:15. Hebrews 1:3. Who is this him? He is the express image of the person of God. He is all we know about God. He is all that he revealed to us is through himself, that we know anything concerning God Almighty. This is the person. He's unique. He does not depend upon anybody else to make him an individual in the same sense that we are individuals, that we are persons. And what I'm saying is all these scriptures that point to Christ as a person, and I'm just calling him him, look at what it does. By, for, of, through, to, him are all things absolutely sovereign, and it's all to the glory of God in himself. Now, him has a name. Scripture teaches us to trust in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. When Ed prayed this morning, what did he pray? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this him has a name. And this name is, the scripture says, trust in his name. Call upon his name. Worship in his name. Why? Because his name describes his character as who he is and what he is. His name. When people say the name of Jesus and this kind of stuff, all they're doing is saying the five-letter word Jesus. It has nothing to do with the spiritual meaning of his name. Pray in his name. Worship his name. Let me read just one scripture. Acts 42:12. Speaking of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, crucified. Here's the verse. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So the name is associated with eternal life. The name of Christ describes all his attributes, all his essence, describes all his perfections, all his purposes, who he is, and what he is. Now we'll make it personal. What is so precious about that? He does it for your soul and my soul. His name. And Rupert, I looked it up on the internet. And I just simply typed in the names of God. One of them had 609. One of them had 942 names. And then I look at things like there is in the Old Testament, for example, he has the name Jehovah. There are 8 specific names associated with Jehovah. The one is Tiskanu, Jehovah Tiskanu, I think I pronounced that right, means the Lord is our righteousness. Every name in the Scripture defines the attributes and nature and character and work and activity of God Almighty in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this name. I went to John Gill group to see if I could get some feedback on it. He's got 32 chapters on the attributes of God. What does that tell me? It is so far beyond my comprehension. But here is a person, not a creed, not a doctrine, but a person. And that person has a name. And his name is described throughout Scripture in so many different ways. I'll just take two of them. This expression of the character of this person, his name. And I will say his omnipresence. And I've said this: I shall not ever leave you nor forsake you. I don't care where up to he is. I don't say that facetiously. Because selfishly, he is with my soul. If that's true, he's with every soul of his elect. And that is what gives me comfort. His omnipotence, meaning almighty. I sit here thinking, oh, here's somebody so powerful. He said, let there be light. There was light. Now you tell me I understand that. But let me tell you the closest thing I know to understanding what power and light is. I was driving a 2-ton truck loaded with 100-pound bags of top dressing to put on corn. It was early May. Driving down a forward path, and a cloud comes up, and you can't get that fertilizer wet because it clumps like the devil. Sodium nitrate. So I threw them bags of fertilizer on that truck and hauled buggy going down that pass as hard as I could. I got about as far from the meat of Rupert from a pine tree about this big. And a bolt of lightning came down. Whoop! Hit that tree. So help me goodness. It was as if an atomic bomb had gone off. I have never seen a brighter light in all my life. You were stunned. The concussion from that just stunned. And then the odor from that burning, I think they call it ozone and stuff. So, Rupert, I got an inkling. This is just a simple bolt of lightning. Just think what it takes from a power standpoint to say, let there be light, and there was light. And Sergeant Major sitting there, I had another episode. I had a 152 artillery round shot at me, landed 30 feet from me, full of magnesium incendiary. And it's the second brightest light I've ever seen in my life. That was a rude awakening too. What I'm saying is, I am convinced that everything that happens in life points us to God's omnipotence, His power. If it happens, He's the cause. And that's just part of His name. That's the description of His name. His omnipotence. All the attributes, all perfections, are applied by God in His name. When we talk about the finished work, by itself it is nothing unless God Almighty, the source, applies that. The blood is absolutely worthless except God Almighty applied to our soul. If the Israelites had not taken the blood and sprinkled it on the door jambs, God would have killed their children. It is His name. He is the source. It is His attribute. His perfections. Everything He is, that's His name. That's His character. Doug, if I would sit there and say, well, I'll pick somebody else. Suppose I were to say, Tommy. Am I talking about this Tommy or that Tommy? You don't know. Now, if I say Tommy Parker or Tommy Padgett, then you know who they are. Why? Because you know his character, his personality. You know his character, his personality. And you separate them out so y'all know him. The same thing with Johnny. Suppose Johnny Tindall's sitting back here. You're talking about, it's Johnny? Johnny Tindall. Until you say Parker or Tindall, we have no idea. Christ comes to us and says, this is my name. These attributes are my personality. These attributes are my perfections. His attributes are what I am. His attributes, his perfections, is who I am. See me. Here is my full name. Another name of Christ is simplicity, meaning singleness. He is unique, and it's the simplicity of all Scripture is in one word, Christ. One word. Now, when I look at this name, and I selected some names that mean something to me without going through 900 and some names in the Scripture. Exodus 13:13. When the Lord approached Moses and said, "Moses, go speak to my people." And Moses asked him, "When the people asked, 'What is thy name?' what shall I say?" You know what God's answer was? Simple. I am that I am. Why do I like that name? I am what? All in all. You can take every other name and sum it up. I am everything. Every soul of a believer experiences that. What is his name? His name, he is everything to my soul. He is the I am. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, the life. What is life? It's the I am. It's a person. It's not a doctrine. It's not a creed. It's a person. What is the way? It's a person. What's his name? I am. Who is he? He's Christ. I am the life. Oh, Doug, what a beautiful, most gracious statement saying, I am the life. More importantly, you read it this way. He is my life. This person, this name, now he applies it to my soul. I am your life. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Eternal life. That's his name. Notice, even if you are dead, I'll go so far as to say only if you are dead can he give you life. When Peter was asked, "Who does everybody say that I am?" Some say Elias, some say you're John the Baptist. "No, Peter, who do you say that I am?" "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art my God, the living God." Colossians 1:19. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Let me read that again. It pleased the Father that in I am should all fullness dwell. Let me read it again. It pleased the Father that in the Lord Jesus Christ shall all fullness dwell. They're one and the same thing. One name, one mind, one God. Perfection. Now, if it pleased the Father that in this I am, who is the life of our soul, eternal life, that in him should all fullness dwell, tells me not only is he all things, but He is the fulfillment, the completeness, the finisher of all things. What is the finished work of Christ? It's Christ Himself. He is the fulfillment of all the purposes of God. One more scripture, Acts 17:28. In Him we live and move and have our being. Oh, that our souls can simply say, oh, this is my Lord. Not the Lord. This is my Lord. That's what it says. I give your soul's life. That soul lives and breathes and moves and has its being because Christ says, I am your life. Your life's soul. Let me summarize. Creeds, doctrinal statements, even truths, are nothing except that God gives us the grace to see that the source of all of that is a person, and His name is the Lord Jesus Christ, the I Am of our souls, and we look to Him, not to any other thing but Him. And we rejoice in His mercy and His grace and all those blessings He gives us. But our salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder Paul says, oh, to be found in Him. That should be the cry of every believer's soul. Oh, may I be found in Him. Now, having said that, what is the benediction to knowing Him as a person, Christ, knowing Him as a name, the Lord Jesus Christ? What does Paul say in all of his epistles with respect to a benediction? Now, Paul's epistles all concern the eternal love of God for His sinners, the multiple tender mercies applied to these poor sinners, the exceedingly sovereign grace of God, which was abundant, and He's most gracious in giving it, exceedingly abundant. He is all sufficient in all spiritual things for our souls. All the way through this. It's talking about here is what Christ is. Here is who He is. How do we determine that? By what He does. What He does for sinners. All sufficient, mercy, grace, love, everything that He gives freely of Himself. Here is the benediction. Romans 16. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. It's personal. This grace, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, be with you all. Amen. To God only wise be glory through the Lord Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Then 1 Corinthians, Philemon, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, Titus, and Hebrews, all end essentially the same way. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Listen to what it's saying. He makes it personal. This grace, this person whose name is Christ, be with you all. Amen. He makes it personal. He He saith that these things be with you. Let's put it this way. What he's saying is, may this grace be with my soul. Amen. There's another way to state it. 2 Timothy 4:22. A benediction. Lord Jesus Christ, be with thy spirit. Grace be unto you. Amen. Oh, what a benediction. May the I Am, the Lord Jesus Christ, be with my spirit that He breathed into my soul. And grace be with me. Amen. Philemon 1:25. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So here's another statement saying that this grace, this Lord Jesus Christ, be, and I'm going to substitute the word soul, be with your soul. Amen. This is Paul's prayer. This is Paul's petition to God Almighty in His name. That this be with us. Ephesians 2:3. Peace be unto the brethren and love with faith from God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Here is a statement, peace to the brethren, and love, and faith, and grace to all that love the Lord Jesus Christ. In sincerity, truthfully, in spirit and in truth. Amen. And here's the last one. 2 Corinthians. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Oh, the grace, the love, and the communion of the spiritual being of God Almighty be with us always. Amen. Amen.